Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Son of David, have pity on us." When Jesus entered the house, the blind men approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they said to him. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread word of him through all that land. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout this first week of Advent, Church wants to calibrate our attitude toward this liturgical season, the whole new year that began on Sunday. The Lord is coming. He's coming in the past, present, and future, in history, mystery, and majesty. And we're called to go out and meet him in this threefold coming. Jesus, when he comes, doesn't come to us right where we are. He loves us too much for that. He comes near. Near enough that we know where he is. But likewise, near enough that we can get up and go to him where he is. Most of the journeying, most of the effort is his. But he does want our getting up from where we are and going out to meet that bridegroom as he draws near. If we didn't have the Feast of St. Andrew on Wednesday, we would have had the gospel scene of Jesus curing the multitudes of lame, sick, and blind on the mountain prior to his feeding them in the multiplication of the loaves and fish. If people are carrying lame people on cots, if blind people don't really know where they're going, wouldn't it have been more compassionate for Jesus to stay down there on the plain rather than have them carry up the stretchers up the mountainside? But he knew that there was something very valuable to that effort on their part. Likewise today, Jesus is passing by, and two blind men following him cried out, "Son of David, have pity on us." Well, if the Son of David really had pity, why didn't he stop right then, just as he did with the woman with the hemorrhage, and say, "Who's calling out for me? Where are those men?" And then he would have done everything to go and meet them in their cry. He loved them too much for that. He wanted them to grow in that hunger to meet him. So he continued to go and entered the house, allowing them to make that effort to come. But once they came, Jesus then said, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord." And they were cured. I just do that just for you, Sister Talitha. Just for you. The Lord wants to do the same thing with us. He wants to give us the opportunity to want what he wants to give, because that creates the receptivity for his miracles. He wants us to cry out and to follow him, to grow in faith that he can do it, so that he can give himself to us in accordance with our faith. And he wants that faith to grow. In today's gospel, the church likewise wants us to see ourselves in these blind men specifically. In the prophecy of Isaiah about what the Messiah would do, it said, "Out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see." And they want us to see ourselves in these blind men. Today at the United Nations, we will be marking the 10th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of the Disabled. And last year, on the 9th, there was an ambassador, the former permanent representative from Ecuador, Luis Gallegos was his name, who gave a memorable intervention, I can still recall it a year later, in which he said, you know, so often when we approach the rights of the handicapped, we, most of us, think about others. But he says, one day we're all going to have bad eyes. One day we're all going to need hearing aids. One day we're all going to have problems with stairs. We need to start identifying now with those who have difficulties with their eyes, their ears, their bones, their mobility, everything right now, because that's the fate of us all. And there's an extraordinary spiritual application for that too. When we hear about Jesus curing the blind, we need to see ourselves in those blind men, because at a spiritual level, we've got so many blind spots, so many frequencies when the Lord speaks to us in His Word and Sacred Scripture, through the voices of others, through those annoying phonetics of the people who drive us crazy. We don't really hear His voice as He wants us to. We recognize that some of the times we struggle even to make a loving genuflection. Even though we're walking down a corridor close to a chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is, sometimes it's even a struggle just to enter and say hello. That there are sometimes great difficulties, great handicaps in crossing the road, in caring for somebody who is in need, like that man in the ditch that the Good Samaritan cared for. The Lord wants to cure us in each of those ways. But we need to believe that He can do it. And we need to go to Him intentionally and then to the extent that we can physically, to put ourselves in those near occasions of miraculous grace. Jesus wants to cure our blindness. He wants us to believe that He can do so, to recognize that we're blind, and He is one who has come to give us that cure. And in today's responsorial psalm, we see how the Lord is our light so that we can see things as they really are, and our salvation, and that He comes both with that light and that messianic salvation precisely to help us. In the responsorial psalm, it gives us four quick ways that we can ask whether we're seeing by the Lord's light and living in a saved way. The Lord is my light, my salvation, first thing. Whom shall I fear? He's my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? So often, we're afraid. We're cowards. We're quitters. Situations intimidate us. When we see with the light that the Lord gives us, we see Him in the midst of those circumstances. Courage, as I like to stress, is not to be fearless. Courage means we do what we ought to do despite our fear. Just like He did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, take this chalice away from me. Jesus, when we see with His light, we receive the salvation of His courage. Next thing. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate His temple. That the deep desire that we have is in the light of the Lord to contemplate His loveliness and to recognize that the whole cosmos is His temple. He wants to cure us precisely so that we can see His goodness ubiquitously. Third, I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just see the Lord while we're walking through the valley of death, but see the bounty of the Lord, how generous He is, so that we can respond with incessant thanks. So often we see our deprivation, we see what we give up, but there's a bountiful aspect of that, that the Lord who looks at the good of our soul will take things away that might hinder the growth of the soul. to fortify that soul that he's given us. He will likewise give us crosses. All of it is part of the Lord's extraordinary bounty. And when he's cured our eyes, we can notice it and be filled with gratitude. Because, as we would have remembered last week at Thanksgiving, it is our duty and our salvation always and everywhere to give God thanks. And the Lord comes as our salvation so that we can see in his light his bounty, so that we will never cease thanking him. And lastly, the real prayer of Advent. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. The Lord is coming. He's coming in his fullness. He already has come. He is coming in the present and he will come again. But our response to that is an active waiting, not a passive one. One in which we've got our loins girt and sandals on our feet, ready to go out to meet the bridegroom as he comes with haste. This morning, very early, I just was looking up the whole etymology of the word stout-hearted. For whatever reason, it just got into me that I recognized they had never really done it. The word stout comes from the word proud in so many of the ancient languages. Not proud in a haughty way, but proud in a sense of dignity that nobody will rob, that we kind of remember who we are, and that a holy pride that flows from dignity is meant to radiate from the center of who we are, from our heart, from our affections, everything else. And so, because of that, it's strong. Because of that, it doesn't get wavered when other people challenge. That the Lord wants our Advent to be a particularly stout-hearted Advent. Because we're seeing things in the Lord's light, and we're already experiencing the down payment of his salvation. The Lord is coming. We cry out to him to heal us. He asks us, "Do you believe that I will do this?" And we say, "Yes, Lord, we do believe." Knowing from today's gospel that the miracle is not dependent on his love or his will. The miracle is dependent, ex opere operantes, on the measure of our faith to be able to receive this gift. Today let's ask the Lord to open up our eyes. Let's ask to give us a stout-hearted heart so that we might wait for him and go out to embrace him with faith. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.